It's Sunday night, a little after 9. Priya is sitting on the edge of her bed with her shoes still on, and she does not have the energy to take them off. She's a nurse. All week she gave to her patients, to her two kids, to her mother who's getting older, to the friend who only ever calls when something's on fire. She is, by any measure, a good person. And right now she feels empty, scraped out, like a jar somebody tipped over and forgot to refill. Here's the part that really gets her, though. On top of the tiredness, she feels guilty for being tired. Because aren't you supposed to feel good about giving? So she's lying there doing the math we all secretly do. If being good to people is the right thing, why does it leave me with nothing left? Maybe you've done that math too, on your own Sunday night. Hold on to Priya. This whole show is built around her question, and the answer is not the one she's been told. So let's ask it plainly, because it's a bigger question than it looks. Why does giving wear out the most giving people we know? Look around and you'll see it everywhere. The friend everyone leans on who has no one to lean on. The mom who does it all and feels invisible doing it. The good neighbor who slowly stops answering the door. In every one of those stories, we reach for the same explanation. Something must be wrong with the giver. She gave too much. She didn't set limits. She needs to learn to say no. We put the whole weight of it on her shoulders, the same shoulders that are already carrying everyone. But I want you to try a different thought, just for the next few minutes. What if Priya was never the problem at all? What if she's doing everything right? And the thing that's wearing her out is something she can't see. And once you can see it, you can change it. Now, the usual advice for Priya comes in three flavors, and all three quietly fail her. The first is, try harder, care more, give more, push through. That one's almost cruel, because Priya is already running on empty. Telling her to give more is like telling someone who's drowning to swim harder. The second is set boundaries. Learn to say no. That's actually good advice, as far as it goes. But notice it only tells her how to give less. It never fixes the thing that made giving drain her in the first place. It's damage control, not a cure. Or self-care. But a bath on Sunday does nothing about the Monday that empties her again. All three have the same hidden assumption baked in, that the problem is Priya, and the fix is for Priya to manage herself better. And that assumption is exactly where everyone goes wrong. Here's the real problem, and it has nothing to do with Priya's heart. It's about the shape her giving takes. Picture a well. One person digs it, and everyone in town comes to draw water out of it. Water flows in one direction only, out. And it never comes back. That's what Priya is. She is a well, and the whole town is drinking from her, so of course she runs dry. That's not a flaw in the well, that's just what happens to a well when many take and only one fills. We have a name for this shape. It's called charity, and charity is one way by design. One person gives, others receive, and the giving only ever goes one way. Now, charity isn't evil. Sometimes a one-way gift is exactly what a moment needs. But as a way to live, day after day, it has a fatal flaw built right into its shape. It always, always empties the giver. And here's the good news hiding in that. You cannot fix a person's tired heart with a pep talk. But you can absolutely change a shape. Let me bring in something old here, because people have known a piece of this for a very long time. When scholars went and studied how giving worked in older cultures all around the world, the gift-giving traditions, the passing of things hand to hand, they kept noticing the same strange rule turn up in many of them. The rule was this: a gift has to keep moving. You're not meant to clutch a gift and lock it in a drawer. When a gift keeps traveling, person to person, It stays alive, and it grows. The moment someone hoards it and stops the flow, it goes stale and dies in their hands. Now sit with how backwards that is from how we usually think. We treat a gift like something to hold on to. But the oldest wisdom about giving says the opposite, that the life of a gift is in the moving, not the keeping. Stay with that, because it's the key that unlocks Priya's whole problem. Her giving is dying because it stops at the people she gives to. Nothing moves on. Nothing comes back. It's all one way. Now, I can hear the pushback because it's the smart one, and you might be thinking it right now. If the answer is to keep giving and let it flow, won't people just take advantage? Isn't that a one-way ticket to being everyone's doormat, the exact thing that already wore Priya out? Good. Keep that with you, because it's a real danger and we're not going to wave it away. Yes, some people only take. They exist, and pretending they don't is how good people get used up. But here's the thing. The skeptic misses. The reason takers can drain Priya is that she's running charity, the one-way well, where one person pours and others just drink, and nobody can tell who's giving back because nobody's supposed to. The takers hide perfectly in that shape. Change the shape, though, and something quietly powerful happens, in a giving that flows in a circle where things are meant to move and come back around. You can finally see who only ever reaches in and never puts anything back. The shape itself does the watching for you. So the answer to, won't people take advantage, isn't to stop giving. It's to give in a shape that makes the takers obvious, and that shape has a name too. So picture a different shape entirely. There's a shopkeeper. Let's call him Sam. His foot is hurt. His little shop has gone quiet, and he can't work any harder than he already does. By the old advice, Sam is stuck, he's got nothing left to give, so he does something different. He stops trying to be the well, and he starts being the connector. The neighbor with too many eggs? Sam sends her to the family down the street who needs eggs. The woman who makes beautiful bowls? Sam points her toward the folks who'd buy them. The young guy looking for work? Sam knows someone hiring. Sam gives away almost nothing of his own. He just gets things moving between other people, and watch what happens. The egg lady gets customers, the bowl maker gets sales. The young guy gets a job, and the next time Sam needs a hand with the shop, that same young guy shows up for free, glad to. The giving didn't drain out of Sam and vanish. It went around the whole town and came back to his own door. That's not a well anymore. That's a jar that everyone in town is dropping something into. And here's the line I want you to remember. You cannot run out of something that everyone is filling. Let's stay with why that works, because it's deeper than a clever trick. A well has one filler and many drinkers, so it drains. A jar has many fillers, so it fills. Same people, same giving, opposite result, all because of the shape. But there's a second thing happening in Sam's town that matters even more than the math. In the well, only Sam matters. Everyone else is just a drinker, a taker, somebody on the receiving end. In the jar, everyone matters. The egg lady is needed. The bowl maker is needed. The young guy, the old man who knows everybody, the busy mom with 10 minutes and a good idea. Every single one of them has something to put in, so every single one of them is needed. And being needed, having something real to give, is one of the quiet, deep hungers in every person. The well feeds people. The jar does something better. It makes them necessary. That's the difference between helping someone and giving them a place to belong. Now, before you decide the jar is some sweet fairy tale, I want you to notice that you've already watched one work, probably more than once. Think about what happens on a street when a family has a new baby or someone comes home from the hospital. Out of nowhere, the meals start showing up. One neighbor brings dinner, Monday, another takes Tuesday, A third leaves groceries on the porch. Nobody got paid. Nobody kept a careful score. People just put something in, each in turn, and for a few weeks that family gets carried. That's a jar. You've seen it with your own eyes. Or think of those buy-nothing groups, where a whole neighborhood passes along the crib nobody needs anymore. The ladder, the half can of paint, everybody both gives and takes, and somehow everyone comes out ahead. That's a jar, too. Here's the thing that should give you hope. We already know how to do this. We do it all the time, for a new baby, after a funeral, in the middle of a crisis. We just do it by accident, in short bursts, and then let it fade back to nothing. So this whole show comes down to one move, doing on purpose, all the time, the thing we already do by accident sometimes. The jar isn't a new idea you have to learn. It's an old habit you just have to stop leaving to chance. All right, let's bring this home, to you, because this stops being interesting the second it's just a story about Priya and Sam. So let me ask you three honest questions and actually pause on them. First, where in your life are you the well? Where are you the one who always gives, always fixes, always shows up, while the giving flows one way and never comes back? Be honest. It might be your family, your job, one particular friendship. Second, where could you stop being the well and start being the connector, the Sam, getting things moving between people instead of carrying it all yourself? And third, and this is the one that matters most, who in your life is the well right now? Who's the giver? Everyone leans on, quietly running dry on their own Sunday night, the one nobody ever thinks to refill. Be still a second. You probably just saw a face. That face is where this whole thing starts, because the fix begins with one small move, and it's a move you can make this week. So here's your one thing this week. And it's small on purpose, because the whole point is that you don't have to give more. You have to give differently. Find one jar in your life. It can be your street, your group chat, the people at work, your family. Then do three quiet things. Number one, put something in. Not money, necessarily. A ride, a hand, an introduction between two people who should know each other. Start one little bit of flow. Number two, tell one person what you put in. Not to brag, but so they know the jar exists, so they know this is a thing your people do for each other now. And number three, and for the Prius listening, this is the hard one. Let someone put something into your jar. Accept the help. Say the honest, I've had a rough week. Because a jar only works if it flows both ways, and being willing to receive isn't weakness. It's the thing that lets the whole circle close. Put one thing in, tell one person, let one thing in. That's the week. So that's the first thread. And it runs through every one of these five books. You don't have to give more, you have to give, so it comes back around. So nobody, including you, ever runs dry. A well empties the one who digs it. A jar that everyone fills holds the whole town up and makes every person in it needed. And if part of you is still that arms-crossed skeptic thinking, sure, but people will take advantage, good. Bring that with you. Because next time, we follow this exact same thread into the next book and look straight at the doubt that stops most people from ever filling a jar at all. Watched over, as always, by Daisy. I'll see you there.